W4NWB. What you doing?
Well, I had just gotten turned loose by my accountant from downtown Greenville, and I'm going home, baby. I'm gonna go home and play on my radio.
Good for you. I'm coming through, I guess you'd call this Seneca. I'm on the edge of Seneca, headed back toward Sparkleburg. So I'll be home in a little while.
All right. Well, hey, listen, a buddy of mine sent me a text that said the South Orkney Islands de-expedition is to begin Sunday on 160 through 10, and they're going to do CW and FT8 and single sideband. And that's a hard one to get. So I'm going to try to hit them as a contact this weekend.
Well, you shouldn't have any trouble with all your new play birdies. That'll be a good challenge, though.
But 800 watts. These other guys that are 1,500 watts will be stepping all over me in the clusters.
As if you think about it, most stations are 100 watts, and that's all I run. I've got an amplifier, but I don't use it. But if you want to double your range, theoretically speaking, you got to have eight times the power. So if you're going from 800 to 1,500, that's not a whole lot of difference. And I mean, you'll get a little more signal strength, but not significant, I don't think. And it's about strategy. There's some strategy in there, too, about pounce, when to pounce.
Rescue 4, India, Yankee, India.
Did you hear that contact? He was scratchy. I didn't get his call sign. Go ahead, contact.
Rescue 4, India, Yankee, India. It ain't necessarily of how much power that you're pushing out of your radio. It's the conditions of the atmosphere of you making the contact and how good of an antenna system that you have.
Could you understand him clear?
Yes, sir. He said it's not necessarily the power. It can be the conditions, too, and you know, how good your antenna is. And that's very true. And there's a lot of factors in there, so if you're in the right place at the right time, it's very possible. Whiskey 4, India, Yankee, India, is that correct?
That is correct. My name is Robert.
Repeater, did I catch the name right? Is it Robert?
Yes, it is.
Good to hear you. Yeah, I appreciate the input. Go ahead, Steve.
I'm beginning to wonder if it's me. You understood him pretty good, but he sounded kind of muffled to me.
Hey, I've been doing this a long time. There's a lot of decoding going on in my brain.
You got an advantage on me, bud. I haven't been licensed since but about July and August, so, yeah, you got to jump on me. Well, with the way I've got it all set up now, I should be okay. I mean, I should be able to hit them with even to that inverted V, because I've got it, oriented in the right direction.
What's your rotatable dipole? Is it a 40?
This dipole, I got it from an outfit down in Georgia called Maxcon, and it's given me a 2 on the SWR on the upper end of 80. And on the lower end of 80, it's down around 1.1 to 1.5, and it'll cover 40, 20, and 10 and 6. And the SWR at those bands is generally around a 2 or a 2.1. So it does a reasonable job, but it's real good. It's really good on the 40 and the 80.
Multiband, that's awesome if it goes up through 6. I was just kind of giving Robert a chance to jump back in there if he wanted to. Robert, do you want to jump back in?
Later. I just need to let him know that monoband antenna that you make on your own that's just for one band, where you don't have to use an antenna, you will have more power coming out of your radio and to the ionosphere if you don't use a tuner.
I've got a 75-meter dipole, that I load up on some oddball bands because it's not cut for that. I do it through a tuner, so yeah, you do lose a lot through the tuner. It's a lot more efficient if you can go straight to it. So, Steve, yeah, if you got decent, if it's working decent, especially on 40 and 80, that's pretty cool if you don't have to use a tuner.
Don't have to, but running that amp, I like to go ahead and use that tuner. And from what I can tell, I'm not losing hardly anything through that tuner. It might be 1%, so that would be about 8 watts over 800. So I'm really not all that concerned about that. The amp is brand new. It's real efficient. So is the tuner. It's a new LDG Pro 1000, no, AT 1000 Pro 2. And it seems to be pretty doggone slick. It's fully automatic.
That stuff, I played with one of those one time at during field day. I think it was down in Lawrence somewhere. And it was pretty slick. Fully automatic. I've got a FC20. I run an FT847, and I've had that thing for a while. Bought it when it first came out, and it was a deal. If you bought that, you could get either a free antenna to go with it, their antenna, the tunable one, or an FC20. And I got that. Actually, I started off with the antenna, and then ended up selling it and buying the tuner. I like the tuner better, but it's not foolproof. If it's not close, it won't even try. It'll drop out. So you got to kind of have it close. You can't be too far off for it to do its job. But it does pretty well, too. It's pretty quick.
That sounds like yours is an automatic. This one is supposed to tune in under a quarter of a second.
Automatic. It's there's a button on the rig you mash. It's tuner or whatever, and it kicks in, and then throws just a tiny bit of power out and does its thing. You can hear the relays clicking and stuff. But yeah, that's pretty cool. They're getting a lot better with that stuff.
Yeah, so Sunday I'm gonna be trying to hit the South Orkney Islands. That's just above Antarctica.
You told me that'd be a good challenge.
For sure, those boys is gonna be freezing something off.
I'll be in demand. I may get a little noisy. I'm heading in towards Clemson. It's kind of a low spot down here, so I may get a little noisy.
23 just there below is the Queen of Trail.
Not far yet. I'm on the other side. I'm coming in. I'll be crossing the county line from Oconee into Pickens in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, there's a couple of low spots there where it'll get a little bit scratchy. I know exactly where you are.
Yeah, there's a lot of holes down here around the lake. It's probably one of the lowest points around here. There's a lot of trouble getting signals in down here.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's you know, a lot of shadows through there.
That's 10 watts. This is an old Asden 7000, I think is what the model is. And it's only doing about 10 watts. And I've got a... Well, it's kind of a piecemeal antenna. It's a Larson coil with a, I don't know what kind of spring I got on there, but it's just, you know, of course, 10. It's pretty broad. It goes 144 to 148 pretty much. It's pretty flat. So it's pretty efficient. I don't know how much coax I got on. Probably about 15, well, probably not quite that much. It's kind of toward the back of the truck here, back of the van.
Yep. That sounds like a fairly good rig. If you're only on 10 watts, man, you're blowing it out there. That's good. I've got a couple of old cheap Baofengs tri-power. They go up to 8 watts. And I use them when I go into buildings because I bought myself a Yaesu 8900R. And that puppy is a crossbander, and that is so handy when I can throw that on crossband and still use my Baofeng inside a big old building.
K4BWA, W4NWB. That's pretty cool. I got the rig I talked to you on before, not today, but like a week or two ago, whenever it was, I was in my pickup, and I've got an old, and it's another really old rig. I think it's an 89, around 1989 is when I got it. It's an Alinco 570, I want to say. It's crossband. That's kind of neat to play with if you got a and you can do some pretty cool stuff. It's got a little switch on the top you can enable and disable it with.
It's just real handy. And, you know, these little bow things are so cheap. You know, well, I'll give you an example. If I throw it in my golf cart, hit the crossband, I can run around. I got 8 acres, and I can run around anywhere on my 8 acres, including down at the pond on my little lake. And if I have to drop it in the water, oh, well. But I can crossband up out from the pond or the lake and get out just fine. And that thing, I can go anywhere on my property in the golf cart and have that thing handheld portable. It's handy.
Well, it sounds like you're making good use of it, too. I know I can hear you simplex from my house over there, because I think we're not maybe 4 miles apart when I'm home.
Really? Where are you? Well, no, you told me one time. You're south of me.
Yeah, I'm on Blue Sky Drive.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, listen, when you get to my age, your memory gets about as long as your... well, never mind.
I know my memory's not as good as it used to be, but what I do remember, it's definitely in there for life.
Well, listen, you're just going to come by and see my shack and my setup, bud. Matter of fact, I took that dipole and I put it on a yard arm up there at the top of my tower with a pulley, and I can lower that puppy down and up in 5 minutes.
Now that's the way to do it. Yeah, I've got a good many trees. I've got a little over an acre where I'm at, and it's wooded. And so I hang mine from the trees around the edge. And what was I going to say? Yeah, that's a good idea. Make it so you can get it down. Yeah, we need to do that sometime. You're welcome to come down my place. I've got a little teeny bitty building that I used to collect a lot of heat kit stuff, so I've got tons of heat kit gear. Some of it's in the building, majority of it's in the garage. Like I told you earlier, we've been there 5 years and I still haven't got all the stuff out of the garage. And I've got just lots of old tube stuff. I used to enjoy that stuff years ago. Still like working on them. If you can't work on them, it's kind of hard to keep them going and operating. So that's, you know, I work on radios for a living and then work on them when I get home. That's pretty sad, isn't it?
He always told me, son, if you can find a hobby that you can make a living at, you'll never work a day in your life. Sounds like you enjoy what you do, bud.
I really do. I was in two-way radio back in the 80s and did that for, oh my goodness, I was in avionics for 3 and then two-way and paging and trunking for 10, and then went to Nextel for a couple, and then I got into engineering and stuff, building new systems all over the nation. And I don't know, kind of lost track of the radio side, but now I'm back doing what I enjoy. So you are exactly right. I do enjoy what I'm doing.
Oh, well, that was the neighborhood, KM4UBG.
We even want to respond to that.
I didn't hear anything, did you?
I heard the wind blowing. Sounded like it was blowing through a little cave.
KM4UBG, W4NWB, good afternoon.
That's what Kevin does. He drives for a living. He'll drive a long way and then work for about 30 minutes and then come on back. Don't you wish you... Well, no, you do have that job. Both of you got it made.
That's exactly right. Be careful what you say. That's exactly what I do. When people ask me what I've been doing, I say just riding around. I think I drive more than I sit anywhere most of the time. Like today, I'll have... I don't know. Yesterday I had 3 hours, or actually 4 hours of driving, and I do 10-hour days. So today I'll probably have 4 hours of driving.
Well, I am pretty much getting that point where I am retired now, and I'll tell you, at one point I was putting on between 70,000 and 80,000 miles a year. I was pretty much wearing out of 225,000 on one in 3 years. And I'll tell you, Bo, my behind can tell you every inch of it.
Yeah, how many miles do you tend to do?
Hey, I got this old truck when I got it, man. I had about 40-some thousand or 50-some thousand miles on it. And it's got 100,107 now. So I drive about an hour or 2 hour drive, you know, get there and work all day and drive back. I do garage doors for a living. So I do a lot of driving, man.
I'm about the same way. I go to Columbia once or twice a month, I guess. But most of mine is between Spartanburg and Oconee. So I drive about, of course, this is a state van, so I drive about 2,000 miles a month, I guess, probably an average. So it's not a whole lot, but you definitely got to sit behind the windshield for a little while sometimes.
72,000 miles a year right there. That's about what I was putting on. Bo, I'm going to tell you, after a while, it just, you know, starts to wear on you.
For about, I guess I've had this truck for about 5-6 years now. And I put about 50,000 miles, I thought we're about to...
Repeater, okay, it's a little noisy. I'm in the middle of Clemson. Well, actually, fixing to come out of Clemson.
You doing fine on that 10 watts, bud. It's Kevin that's pretty scratchy down there all the way at Greenwood. Kevin, you're a little bit scratchy, bud, but you're making it.
Heel right here. Dropping back down another one. I'm going up these hills, trying to hit you all on top of the hills. But I'll get the repeater back in a minute. I'll be back in the umbrella here in about 10 minutes.
If you had your way, you'd be a set of beams with a small truck underneath.
They're coming down, Ray. I'd be a first one round and round. I'll be talking to everybody one time.
The helicopter, they'll be looking for you. Hey, Robbie, if we hear a helicopter come in the background, we'll know they got him.
In our prayers, it'll be all right.
From retirement are you, Robbie?
Seven. I don't think I'll ever retire. I'm one of the reasons I really like where I am is excellent benefits and excellent retirement. So I just wish I could have gotten here a little sooner. I think if I ever retired, I'd be bored. And I have my own business on the side anyway. I repair old tube amplifiers and that musical, that is, guitar amps. I do some of that, and I have a recording studio at the house. It's just a four-position vocal booth, and I do just Southern gospel music. There's only a couple of groups I do, usually about a project a year, and it's just enough to get a little side money and between the repairs and stuff like that. It's, again, music is my first love, so I enjoy doing it. W4NWB. I play piano at my church and lead music there. I also play guitar. I play bass in gospel groups. That's probably what I played in groups the most. I played for a couple of different groups playing piano, but those are my three major instruments, I guess. There's some others.
Well, I'd like to hear you play sometime.
But I enjoy doing it.
Church up there at Holly, not Holly Springs, Holson Creek.
Actually, I'm the worship pastor at New Hope. It's on First Street in Emmons.
Ah, okay. How about that? Well, so I imagine that keeps you pretty busy too, wrangling all that.
Yeah, that's true. Not only do I do the music, but I'm also, I got another hat called Media Pastor, too. I do all the sound, and I got a guy that actually runs sound, but I'd have to do all the PowerPoint slides for all of the sermons for my pastor, my senior pastor, and anything else like that, sound or video, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. All right. Well, you still in that cabin? Are you doing any better? It's Kevin. KN4 UBG, KN4 VWA.
Hey, KN4 UBG. I'm getting a little closer to the umbrella, man. Y'all coming in pretty good now. I'm fixing to drop off a big hole down here. If you know where the Burger King and all live down here, I'm fixing to be at the Burger King here in a minute. After I get back to what you guys down here. Back up on top of the hill, I'll have y'all pretty good. I'm on top of the hill now. I can almost see Greenville.
Hey, that's good. Hey, Robbie, guess what I saw this morning?
No telling.
All right, you know the top of the hill there at Little Mountain?
Yeah.
Bo, it was so clear this morning, I could see Paris Mountain, the top of Caesar's Head, and looking back our way, I could see Hogback and then all the way back into White Oak, all in one clean, clear shot. It was pretty.
Oh, yeah, I was up that way this morning. I had to go to Campobello first this morning and work on a backhoe, and then I took 11 and went out to 25 to get back to Greenville. And it was, you're right, it was beautiful. Glassy and Hogback and White Oak, Try and Peak up there, they were all beautiful this morning with the snow and all. I told my wife, she called me, she was watching our granddaughter today, and she's five. Not my wife, my granddaughter. But I told her, I said, you need to ride up to Gowansville and look, and they were going to head up that way. So, yeah, it was beautiful this morning. You're right. I didn't look down toward Paris this morning, but I did ride all the way across, and Glassy wasn't as pretty. There wasn't as much snow on that one, but, yeah, Hogback and White Oak were beautiful this morning.
Yes, sir. Speaking of grandkids, I got my granddaughter coming this evening. I think she was coming the last time we talked. Yep, so I'm going to get to play pop-pop all weekend.
That's a good thing, right?
I'll tell you what, that was a life changer. We're having the first grandkid come along. We've got two. Hannah's five and Heidi is, gosh, I have to think, 1.5. I don't think she's two. She'll be two in June.
Well, you know, the good thing to look at, Steve, as long as they still coming and seeing you, that means you're able to get out. But, you know, you better enjoy that time while you have it, because they really grow up quick now.
Oh, I know. I know. And see, I got one over here that lives on Lake Bowen. They're close by. Get to see her pretty regular. But the other one lives down in Fleming Island, Florida. And, man, I tell you what, she comes up and spends about 2 weeks every summer with us. But, doggone, I miss her.
I'm in a hole right now. I'll get back with you in just a second.
I want to see you in the little girl, and she'll be in September. And the other one lives down in Florida is going to be 12 in May. Yeah, I was saying the one that's coming to see me tonight is a little girl that will be 4 in September, and the other one is going to be 12 in May.
That's Fred. That's pretty neat. Yeah, Hannah and Heidi are pretty close together. They're both, it's actually my stepdaughter's kids, but I treat them like my own. And it's wonderful.
Yeah, I tell you what. I tell you, when that one comes up during the summer, the summer before, living in Florida, she'd never really gone up in the mountains. And I took her up to Mount Mitchell. And when we were headed up the mountain, we got into some clouds that were floating by. And she kept saying, look at that. Look at that. That's a cloud. I said, honey, roll your window down because we're going to drive right into it. Put your hand out. And we drove into that cloud. I said, well, how's it feel? He says, wet. It's wet. That's, and her favorite thing at the time, that's weird. To see the look on that child's face, for her to experience something like that for the first time, you know, there ain't no money in this world that could buy it.
Priceless. That's awesome. You made me laugh out loud. Yeah, I can just picture that, because I remember I had a great uncle that used to have a 1960 Mercedes 190, and sitting in the back seat of that thing was like sitting on a couch. And he took me up to the mountains all the time, and one time in particular, I remember going to Grandfather Mountain, same kind of thing, driving through the clouds, and it was awesome. I remember that as a kid.
And you know what else, Nat? Summer four last, she got up big enough to where I could take her out fishing. And living in Florida, near Jacksonville, she had never been fishing out on a boat. So Pop got to break her in a boat. I tell you what, that was fun, too.
Well, that moment you talking about the cloud, that's one of them moments you wish you could put in the picture frame and just look at it forever.
Right. And I tell you, hey, and you know what? Long time ago, my niece came and spent the weekend with us. And she's probably 35 now. And anyhow, her little sister, I think they were 6 and 5 at the time. And when they came, I was into the old movies on TBS when TBS was first coming out. And oh, I taught them what Tarzan said. When I sent them home, they went home, and I called back down there, and I told my sister-in-law, I said, hey, ask the girls what Tarzan says. She said, okay, I will. And I hung up. About 10 minutes later, I got a call. She said, you dirty dog, it's taken me 10 minutes to get them to shut up, screaming, oh, oh, oh.
Your grandparents, congratulations.
Wind them up, fill them up with sugar wrap before they go home, and just love them to death, and then send them home.
Yeah, they call my wife Gigi, and they hate to leave Gigi's house when she keeps them. They'll cry. They have to tear them away.
But they'll listen to this. Her little nickname is Sassy. The little one, and she come over to the house here about, a month ago, and her mom and daddy says, all right, well, we're going. You're going to stay with Grandma and Pop, aren't you? She says, yep, bye. I said, well, come here and give us a hug, bye. So she run over and grabbed him a hug and said, bye, Mama, bye, Daddy, and turned around and pointed her finger at me and says, you're not going nowhere.
Yeah, that's some fun moments there, man. I tell you what, when our grandkids was growing up, you know, I mean, they're still 10, 11 years old now, but I mean, they're, you know, compared to what they used to be when they were little, we used to get a trip out of them, you know, because you know how kids, once they get to saying daddy, you know, everybody's daddy, you know, because that's the only thing they really know to say. And every time they come to the house, you know, my stepdaughter always met with me because she stayed with us for a long time.
Loves that thing.
I love our grandkids now. They love playing the game more than they do anything else, you know. somebody else. They don't like going over there. You know, kids really grow up quick, you know. They catch on iron pretty fast. And they love coming to their house, though. I mean, they have a ball at their house. They sit down and watch, you know, watch movies with us and everything else. You know, they don't really want to leave when they come there. That's the sad part. You know, you hate to see them go.
Thinking about me after about 6 o'clock this evening. Pop Pop's going to be being used as a trampoline. She loves to climb up the back of the sofa and dive bomb right onto my belly. So y'all be thinking about me after about 6 o'clock. But I'll be loving every minute of it.
I'm clear for just a minute, guys. I'm coming to easy. I'm going to watch some traffic here. But I've enjoyed it, guys. And y'all be safe out and about. And hope to catch up with you again soon. KN4UBG and, excuse me, KN4VWA, W4NWB, if you're clear for a little bit.
W4NWB, let's get together sometime, bud. I'd love to have you come up and see my shack. I will talk to you later. KN4VWA, clear. Kevin, how close to home are you now, boy?
Well, just a second. I'm in a hole here right now. I'm coming up 252 here, out of where it shows up in Hickory Tower. Give me just a minute, I'll drop this eagle right here and I'll come back to you.
KO4BXE, can somebody give me a radio check, please? I just installed a new radio on my truck. Oh, no. Is that your first one or your how many? This is my first one. I've been using my little, I just got my call sign few days ago, and I've been using a little handheld, and it just ain't doing enough, so I put me a new radio on my truck. I'm just hoping it's working. I guess it is, if you're talking to me.
Well, I got you good down here, coming up by Water Shoals on 252. I just turned on, I can't remember what name this little road is, run you back over to Hickory Tavern here. It's the one that runs all the way with Boy Mill Pond. And, sound good back here.
Yes, it was good back this way, too. I'm up at Inman, South Carolina, and you're pretty much full signal, full quieting, and let me give you some advice. Take it out of your truck. Throw it away. Get rid of it. Sell it. You're going to get addicted. I'm afraid my wife has already told me all that. She knows I'll be sitting out here in the truck now talking on the radio. Listen, I got my technician back in July. I got my general in August. And I was going to get my extra in September, but I got a new knee. So I'm working on my extra now, and I've just finished me up a new shack. Got me a new 991A, a 50-foot tower, a new Ameritron 811H amplifier, and a new tuner. And I tell you what, if my wife finds out how much I spend, she may have to come visit me in the hospital.
I passed my technician last, I guess, 2 weeks ago, and it took 4 or 5 days to get my call sign. And I tell you what, I'm not the smartest bookworm out there, so I don't know. I believe I'm probably done. Unless I just really get into this and find out I need my general.
Well, Bo, I'll tell you what. It's nice being able to talk to knotheads like KN4UBG down there. But I got off into HF. And let me tell you something. I've been talking to Northern Ireland, Zambia, British Columbia, Brazil. I mean, I've been all over the place. And I'm going to try this weekend to hit the South Orkney Islands on a expedition on Sunday. I'm talking all over the world now, and I never figured I'd try to get past the technician license.
I'm fixing to go here in about a week and pick up a tri-band beam. This joker looks like a big old double wide, about how big it is. And that's going to be another $850. So, trust me, hey, it's just more money than the crazier it gets.
Oh, not Glenn. Is that Glenn?
But it's Glenn. You also have to consider, you know, you sat for your technician's exam. You could have sat for the general and extra exam at the same time. There was no penalty in saying, for example, I never had a technician class license. I went in there and I sat for all three exams for the same $15 fee, right? And whatever you pass, you're going to end up getting. But, yeah, welcome to amateur radio, whoever that was, who just got his new radio, and enjoy it.
KO4BXE, it's Michael. I'm up in, next to Hendersonville, up in a little community called Tuxeda. And it seems like this repeater is the one I can hit the best from my house, especially on the HT. But now that I've got a truck radio, I'm kind of playing around. I'll probably be able to hit a few more repeaters with it. You need to try White Oak Mountain, and you need to try, there's one across the mountain there at Asheville, and I can't remember the name of it, but you might be able to hit the one down at, depends on your location in Tuxedo, you might be able to hit Paris Mountain.
Try Mount Mitchell. Mount Mitchell is a big foot repeater. That joker covered parts of Virginia, Tennessee, North Carolina, Georgia, South Carolina. It's got a big footprint. That's Mount Mitchell. That'll be, I think that's 146, 19, I think.
145, 19, W4 and WB.
Can you hit it from there?
Yeah, I can hit it with this new radio I just put in the truck, which I just got it in 30 minutes ago and got everything hooked up. I can hit the Mount Mitchell repeater with it. With my HT, I cannot from here. I'm actually up Green River, if anybody's familiar with that. I'm kind of in a hole, and it seemed like this Cedar's Head Tower is the one I hit the best. And I can hit the Tryon Peak. I hit it pretty good.
There you go. Now, there's one more over at White Oak Mountain, too. I believe it's 14682.
My name is Tryon Peak. That's 147-285. 14682 is on Paris Mountain.
You're right, Ant. That's correct. 147-285. That's White Oak. That's what I call White Oak. Yeah, it's listed as White Oak in the repeater book.
Yeah, that's Carl's repeater. I forgot his call. RCW. W4RCW.
Yep, that's a good, clean repeater over there. They do a good job. But you follow the rules or he'll shut it down on you.
8-2, I think, is the alternate to this one. I don't see that often. I don't hear that too often.
It doesn't have near the range of this guy, not near the height. So Paris Mountain's about 1,000 feet, and Caesar's Head's around 3,000, I think.
See, the folks at Blue Ridge own both of those repeaters, and they're trying to link them up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I have it programmed in here as the same call sign, so it's the same club that owns the boat. And yeah, link them up might be a good idea. Or put up a repeater on 70 centimeters and crossband them, because there's not that much on 70.
What kind of stuff they can do? Well, listen, guys, I've destinated at the house, and I am going to go in here, check my mail, go in the house, and it's 3:30, and it's time for my afternoon siesta. So I'm going to watch the inside of my eyelids. Glenn, take it easy, buddy. Kevin, try to stay out of trouble. And I will see you guys soon. KN4, VWA, clear.
Talking to y'all some more. KO4BXE.
Roger that, man.
I've been listening some, but I've been listening actually for a while, even before I, of course, got my call sign, but I've not checked in yet.
Well, they got there. I forgot what night it is. I think it's on Saturday night, I think, or it might be Friday night. I can't remember. But the 1-9 repeater, Mount Mitchell, if you can hit that one, they have the 6600 net on that one. They have the Blue Ridge Amateur, what you call it, net on this one at 9 o'clock.
I'm just learning this stuff and figuring it out, the Echo Link stuff and, you know, what, how far you can reach and that kind of stuff, just getting into it. So still not really familiar with all of it. I guess he never will be.
Guys on here, man, if you have any questions, feel free to ask anybody. I mean, ain't nobody going to laugh at you about nothing or nothing. To me, there's no stupid answer, you know, or no stupid question. I don't know about the stupid answers, but, you know, there's no stupid question. I mean, that's the way I was when I first got into it, and there's a lot of good people that's really helped me out over the time. You know, you got KI4DOS, Gary. You got W4DJW, that's the one that's holding the repeater here. He's pretty acknowledged as far as a lot of stuff, and you got, I forgot his call sign now, but Johnny, you know, they all work on this repeater and the other one too, so anytime you have any questions, you throw it out there, somebody will be more than glad to come back to you and help you.
Really appreciate that. I tell you, so far, everybody I've met, you know, that's into this has really been helpful. Even with passing my exam, you know, some of that stuff was just over my head, but those guys was more than willing to try to explain it to me.
That's way, man. I used to be 11 meter, man. I used to be CB radio, man. Don't get me wrong, I still like my CB radio, but, you know, I don't have all the stuff that I used to have. I'm down just, you know, just a regular radio and antennas, but I'm going to tell you what, ham radio, AM done went out the window for me. I mean, I still talk every once in a while on my mobile here in the truck, but, you know, it's just a 4-watt rig and just barefooted, you know. I use it for navigation, but that's about it. I got a lot of good friends on there, too, so, I mean, I've been trying to get everybody to get into ham radio. And still working on a few of them. But I love it, man. You know, I'm a technician myself, and I'm getting ready to start studying for my general class and get my general. And then extra, it'll probably be about a year or so after I get my general class on that one. That way I can take maybe a whole week or so and sit down and study and ain't got to take the exam for that one. But anytime you have any questions, man, if anybody can answer them, you know, they'd be more than glad to help you. But I'll let you get back to it, man. My name's Kevin on this end. Call sign's Kilo November 4, Uniform Bravo Golf. And I'm over here in the Fountain area. But you'll hear me on here all the time. I mean, I've been in Greenwood for about 2 weeks now, so I ain't been able to talk to nobody. I finally do get the repeater in Greenwood. I'm fixing to change the antenna. Hopefully that'll help me out. But I'll say 73 to you, and you have a good one. But anytime you need anything, be more than glad to ask. Look forward to talking to you, and welcome to the hobby.
Say, sir, you have a good one. 73 to you. KO4BXE.
Hey there. Congratulations on the ticket there, BXE. I didn't catch all the calls. Sorry, I was coming through easily. I'm on the other side now. But anyway, 73s, y'all, and hope to catch you later. W4 and WB Mobile, clear.
All right, Dad. be at the QTH here in about 5 minutes. Let you have a good one. We'll holler at you later. KN40, you busy? I'll be monitoring for a moment.